Greetings, everyone. My name is Mike McQueen, your friendly teacher librarian, and I'm here with author Eric Dalabar and the author of Saltwater Taffy. We're going to do a short little interview to talk about his new book and some of the ventures that he's been involved with. So welcome, Eric. It's good to have you interview here.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Looking forward to it.
If you could, tell us first a few things about yourself. So before we start about your book, tell us something that can help us get to know you a little bit better.
I grew up in Las Vegas, Nevada, and played in the band and did a lot of theater and also played sports. And then I moved to, to college and got a degree in marketing, but I have a minor in theater and a minor in music, and left college early to take a job with Dick Wolf.
Right. Well, life is short. It's good that you try, that you try something different and go with what your heart's telling you.
One of my main messages to kids is to make sure that you're in grips of a dream. You're always pursuing some type of dream, not just, I have to do my homework, I have to do, this book report or something like that. If I can get that message across to kids that, time really clicks by fast. So that's kind of one of my big messages to kids, is to make sure you're going after your dreams on a daily basis, and you should be doing something to further that dream every single day.
All right, so let's talk about the book and being an author. So what inspired you to write the book, and any struggles as you were writing it? So maybe address those two first things.
What inspired me to write this book was my mom. I've been, ever since I left Law & Order, most of the content that I've created has dealt with some version of crime, because Law & Order is a crime show, and everything, I've written so many cop show scripts and cop show ideas. To venture outside of that, it was sort of my guilty pleasure to sit around and think up of an idea, and all I had to do was think about my childhood, because I was kind of a mischievous little kid. My brother and I got into some, not real trouble, but we were, in the true definition, we were kids, and we played a lot. We weren't TV junkies, because back then it wasn't as big as it is now, and gaming hadn't even been invented. Pong was the big game, and I remember having my first Atari machine. I wish I still had it; it'd be worth a couple $1,000. But so my desire to create some type of G-rated content. I was sick and tired of seeing things like The Cat in the Hat, which is a perfect, when they made that movie, I was thinking, oh man, this is awesome, going to be right down the middle of the fairway for, a G-rated movie for kids. And what did they do? The studio infused, the wrong kind of tone, in my opinion. There were sexual undertones, the humor was above board, so it was trying to entertain adults. And you're not supposed to entertain adults, you're supposed to entertain the child. A classic like Cat in the Hat, to be ruined like that was just, it broke my heart. And so I think I sat down, and my brother called me and says, he said, Eric, you got to create something for my kids. And at the time, his kids were 10 and 12, because there was nothing. And nowadays, kids go from something like SpongeBob to Twilight. There is no in-between. It's like they're growing, there is a lot of parents that are concerned about what kind of content their kids are consuming. And so my desire to create Saltwater Taffy was to create a family-friendly, awesome adventure. Because this, we had one mom blogger, I think her website is mommypants.com or something like that. And she, she blogged about it this morning after writing her review. And she said, the one thing, it was great because she would read this with her family at night. And it was, instead of watching a movie together, they would read together. And so that's what I'm out here, I'm in Denver today, and I'm traveling around the country. I go to New Orleans tomorrow, and then Dallas and Seattle, and I've been in Las Vegas and Phoenix and Flagstaff, and it was just all over the place. And that's what I'm trying to do, is I'm trying to get kids back to the reading table. Believe in your abilities, not your disabilities. Every chapter, and that's something that lacks in our society. Twilight's teaching my kids what? Nothing.
What I like about your book is, first of all, one of the biggest things is fiction, is it's, adventure. Adventure is typically very common with boy readers. High energy, fast-paced, creative problems that are always, the plot always changing and quick movement, and I know that's one of the big parts of your book.
Yeah, absolutely. When I did the when I sat down to do the research for Saltwater Taffy, I went and talked to booksellers. I went to Children's Book World in Los Angeles. I went to Barnes & Noble. I went to Borders. I did a lot of, you know, the indie-bound stores in Los Angeles and talked to them and said, you know, I'm looking for something with adventure for tweens. And they kind of, you know, the looks on the, you know, on the booksellers' faces were, they were like, well, you know, we don't really have anything like that because most of the stuff for that market, for that age group, is dealt with, you know, frustration and angst and confusion. And I'm thinking, well, okay, that stuff is definitely there for my kids, you know, for the for that age group. But there's got to be room for adventure. There's got to be room for, you know, a story of self-discovery. You know, we have 9 teachers of the year around the country and librarians like yourself that are just coming to this book and saying, you know, finally something that is not only a perfect book for reluctant readers, but we're finding that it's sort of crossing over into the adult market where adults are reading it because it is just a great adventure story about growing up. And I said it in 1972 because I was 7 years old in 1972, and back in 1972, there was nothing of the internet. There were no cell phones. I didn't have to incorporate cell phones into my story. And if you see things like The Lightning Thief, Rick Riordan's, you know, and the all the other stories that are out there for the young adult, it's all about cell phone, and it's all about, you know, texting, and I think the more we're becoming connected, we're becoming disconnected from our hearts and our souls. And, you know, I have this thing that I call the heart compass. You know, my story is about buried treasure and finding buried treasure, but that compass, that heart compass, is something that if a kid can tap into that place where they feel really great about themselves, they'll never be alone again. They'll never feel fear. They'll never have to worry about what anyone else thinks of them, because when you're worrying about what someone else is thinking about you, what they're thinking about you, and, you know, you're thinking about what they're thinking about, and what you're thinking about, I mean, it's like a Vince Vaughn movie, you know, where you don't even know what you just said, because, and that's what happens to kids. You know, they get so confused in their minds that they don't even know how they feel about who they are. So they look outside of themselves and they start to look at the media, which is, oh my goodness, that's a dead end there. And then they look at, you know, some of the actors that are their age, and then they look at, you know, the pop stars, which undoubtedly blow up and end up in some type of rehab. We need more role models for for our young children and our tweens that say, you know what, believe in yourself. Don't believe in me because I know how to, you know, I know how to sing and go on tour and I'm the next big thing. And I wish all these kids, the Jonas Brothers and the Biebers of the world, all the best. But, you know, if you look at history, you look back at Lindsay Lohan, where she was like this young starlet and she ended up in rehab. And, you know, that's not a role model for children at all. You know, and athletes are the same way. I think they bypass the core values of what it is to be in that position, and they, you know, they're looking for the bling. And life is not about the bling. The bling is later, man. If, you know, whatever you do, you know, I was speaking at the Jerry Colangelo Boys and Girls Club in Phoenix. And I often go around the room when I'm talking to school kids and club kids like this, and I said, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I had a lot of kids, I don't know. And it's like, well, have you even thought? I mean, because you get to change your mind a million times by the time you reach my age and your age. And, you know, you might as well have some kind of plan. And then one little girl said, I want to be a billionaire. And I said, you have to understand something. That's not what you want to be. That's a result of doing what you love. Because when you love to do something, you never have to work a day in your life, and the money, just, you're rewarded with all sorts of treasures when you love what you do, because you're essentially, I guess, sharing your gift and talent with the rest of us. And when you share your heartfelt gift and talent with the world, success is yours, man. That's not even a question. It's just a slam dunk.
Yeah. Well, and how... So give me a summary of the book. We haven't really talked about that. If you had a picture, there's a couple kids you know, sitting in front of you, how would you summarize what the book is about?
I say, you know, it's basically a story about five friends that find a treasure map one 4th of July weekend. And they go on, they embark on this treasure hunt. And during this, they run into obstacles, everything from a one-legged junkyard man to an overbearing town bully, you know, to the crazy old man living on top of the hill. They try to, you know, they have to outwit and outsmart all these people and figure out it's sort of a race to the finish adventure, where, you know, the last, I would say, 150 pages of the book, you can read in literally an hour or 2 hours, because it's just one thing happens after the next, after the next, after the next. Because, you know, the thing about teens and tweens is they have an attention span that is somewhat fractured from all of the texting and gaming and phone calling and all the video games that are out there. So you really have to, you know, give them that sense of adventure and never let up. So, but yeah, I like to call it, you know, one teacher called it Stand By Me Meets the Goonies. And I think that's a perfect combination, because, you know, who doesn't love the Goonies? I mean, come on, every
that's
kid
right,
loved that movie.
Well, throw in some pirates and a treasure, and you've got a good package all together there. It's great.
I know, and I'm so excited. I'm heading to New Orleans tomorrow, and I have a book signing at Octavia Books in the French Quarter. And the woman that owns the bookstore, her name is Judith Lafitte, and she is a descendant, great 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 granddaughter, some crazy lineage of our bad boy pirate Jean Lafitte, you know, which the story centers around. So I can't wait to get there and say, wow, you were related to Jean Lafitte. I mean, come on, how cool
that's
is that?
Great.
I know.
One of the things, you know, with boys and reading too is boys often prefer short chunks of text, you know, and I love that your book has nice short chapters, and it's really broken apart into small chunks, which so many boys and just girls in general that are maybe reluctant readers really prefer. So that's a pretty appealing technique for a lot of parents and teachers out there that might have a son or daughter that is struggling with reading, because they can have a sense of accomplishment as they're getting through the book, like, hey, I made it through chapter 27, you know. And
yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm reading a book. I like to read John Grisham, and, you know, I read Stephen King and a couple other authors, but I'm always like, going, okay, how many more pages in this chapter? You know, you always peek and say, okay, I can spend another 15 minutes. I can finish this up. But, you know, having chapters that are from 8 to 12 pages long, not only is it, perfect for, I mean, everybody's busy. We're getting more and more busy in this life of ours, in this society of ours. So to get somebody to sit down and actually read a book when they could, you know, get it on tape, or they could watch the movie, or, you know, some other interactive way is a struggle. So with having short chapters, everybody's got, you know, 15 minutes before they go to bed at night.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect chapter book for parents to read. And in fact, I encourage, on whatagreatbook.com, we have one of the pages is dedicated to the parents. And I say, look, you know, you have a 12 or 13 year old in your house, and here's the thing. Because you and I both know that I was 12 years old once, and I knew that when I got to be 14, I didn't want anything to do with my parents. I was too cool for school. No. So my plea to parents is, let's make a memory now. Let's read this book together now, because in a few years your kid is going to be out of your house. Your little baby is going to be off to college. I mean, 5 years now clicks by so darn fast, because we have so much going on in our society that, you know, make memories now, make friendships now, because tomorrow is it's going to get busier and busier. So make memories now. And I love that. So those quick chapters really help.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, and I like what you said, too, about trying to tap into reading a book with your child for parents, because once – you know, I mean, my kids are now middle school and high school, and I know once they get to that age, you know, they're so independent, and middle school, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th grade, it's one of your last chances to really read a book together. I mean, page by page. You know, one of the techniques I use with both my daughters too is if we don't read it, you know, page by page together every day or every other day, or whatever, we'll talk about it every day. And I think that's another technique that a lot of parents could do out there. If their kid is absolutely, there's no way ever that they would sit and read it with you, you know, out loud or whatever, at least you could read it, you know, touch base day to day. Okay, what happened now? I mean, that discussion is critical, I think, to connect the reader with the book. And parents can, you know, parents that do that engage their child with the book so much better than if, you know, they just hand it to them and say, hey, read this book or whatever. So, okay, so if parents or teachers want to get a hold of your book, when was it published and where can they find it?
Pretty much, you know, it came out January 11th, and it is at Barnes & Noble. I mean, you can basically go to whatagreatbook.com, and you can find all the major retailers that are carrying it. I also encourage mom and dad to definitely go out and support indie bookshops. Anywhere that you can buy a book, it's there.
Well, I am so excited to finally get a chance to talk to you. I greatly look forward to the movie, and I wish you all the best in your travels. And most importantly, I respect and appreciate your mission, and I wish that there would be more people out there with similar goals. So my hat's off to you, and keep up all the good work. Way to go.
Thanks a lot, Mike, and keep reading out there.
All right. Okay, Eric, thanks so much. Bye-bye.
All right, buddy.